Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
What? I'm your host, Tom Kearns, and welcome to the Anglo-Saxon England podcast, episode 57, Dark Years. Following the fall of the Wuthingas dynasty in 749, East Anglia entered a period of political uncertainty. Such uncertainty often breeds instability, but in the case of East Anglia, it became significantly more perilous with the ascendancy of Offa of Mercia, a king who, if you will recall, sought to establish a Mercian empire through seizing unprecedented levels of control over his subject kingdoms. Dynastic instability, mirrored by general historical uncertainty, could not have come at a worse time for the East Anglians. The historical sources for the period following Alfwald's death are extremely complicated, to say the least. Various later chronicles, most dating from either the 10th or 12th centuries, claim that Alfwald was succeeded by at least two kings who divided East Anglia between themselves, named Beona and Albert. One of the texts, the Historia Regnum, a text which survives from the 12th century but has roots possibly dating back to the 10th, preserves an odd spelling of Beona's name, which has led some scholars to suggest that there was in fact also a third king in this period. In the Historia, Beona is spelled Hun Beona, which the eminent Anglo-Saxonists Henry Chadwick and Dorothy Whitelock suggested was actually a fusion of the names Hunna and Beona. Thus, if this theory is correct, East Anglia was divided between three kings rather than two, a situation suggestive of much more intense political upheaval. All three of these individuals are regarded as debatable by historians, meaning that the history of this brief period is open to fairly radical change at the drop of a hat. D.P. Kirby, for example, has suggested that Albert was one and the same with Athelbert, who was killed by Offa in 794, obviously more on him later. This identification is not widely accepted, but since we know so little about both Albert and Athelbert, it is not outside the realm of possibility. Similarly doubtful is the suggestion that Beona is the same person as Beornred, the man who briefly succeeded and thus possibly murdered Athelbald of Mercia before being deposed by Offa. This theory doesn't really have much to recommend it, other than the similarity of the first parts of the men's names. This could suggest some kinship, but it's also possible that this is just a coincidence. And what then of Hunna? It is possible that the first part of Hun Beona is a name, since Hun is a well-attested element in Anglo-Saxon personal and place names. Yet it is also possible that the Hun in Hun Beona is simply a scribal misreading of the Old English her, meaning here, which was often used as the first word in a chronicle entry to mean in this year. There is no other evidence for a king Hunna, and barring the discovery of any, it seems best to assume that this is a scribal error, and to thus focus only on Beona and Albert. Besides being referred to in later chronicles, Beona has left a legacy in the form of his coinage. During his reign, Bayona's coinage was produced by at least three different moneyers, who gave their names as Werferth, Ever, and Wilred. Bayona's coinage is the first in East Anglia to give both the king's name and his title, possibly reflecting a desire to affirm his position to his people. His coins are also valuable sources for the use of runes in Anglo-Saxon England, since they tend to use both the Latin and the runic alphabets, suggesting that there was still some familiarity with runes in East Anglia during this time. The coins produced by Wilred especially, who was Bayona's last moneyer, are clearly stylistically influenced by the coins of King Offa. In fact, a single coin of Offa's survives, which was minted by a man named Wilred, which, if it is authentic, may indicate that Wilred's Ipswich mint was producing coins for both Bayona and Offa simultaneously, a fact which indicates very early influence by Offa in East Anglia, even while the latter kingdom remained independent, and, if the number of Bayona's coins are any indication, economically robust. The belief now, and based largely from the surviving coinage, is that Bayona was the dominant king during his reign. Albert seemingly served as a sub-king. This is interesting because there is some speculation that Albert may have been a member of the Wulfingers. The only real evidence for this is that his name alliterates with that of other Wulfingers. There is no other genealogical evidence surviving to suggest this. But even if this hypothesis is correct, then it still seems undeniable that Albert was Bayona's junior partner, which demonstrates the extent to which the authority of the Wulfingers had declined. A single coin attributed to Albert also survives. It was minted by a man named Teilred, and it gives the king's name, interestingly, as Ethelbert. Stylistically, it closely resembles the coins of Bayona, but I will have more to say on this coin and its potential significance once we've discussed the reigns of Ethelred and Athelbert. Hi listeners, I wanted to take a second to tell you about the sponsor of today's episode, Factor. Eating better is easy with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, restaurant-quality, and dietitian-approved, and it's all ready to go in 2 minutes with minimal meal prep. I've had some fantastic meals like butter chicken and tomato risotto with Factor, and I've got to say I've been extremely impressed with all of them. They genuinely are restaurant-quality. You'll get over 35 different options to choose from every week if you try out Factor, including Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Also, with pancakes, smoothies, and more, there's over 60 add-ons to help you stay fueled up and ready to go throughout the day. Factor also works around your schedule. You can order as little or as much as you need each week, and they even let you reschedule deliveries any time of when those unexpected somethings happen to pop up. And to top it all off, Factor is cheaper than ordering takeout, so it really is a smart move to try it out. Get started today and get after your goals. If you're interested in trying Factor, head to factormeals.com/anglo50 and use code anglo50 to get 50% off. That's code anglo50 at factormeals.com/anglo50 to get 50% off.
Hello, we have this superb podcast called We Didn't Start the Fire, the only podcast started by Billy Joel.
It is the most original, fascinating, and random way to learn the story of the 20th century.
Oh, pretty darned random. And we are joined by some pretty incredible guests.
I only wrote stuff that I wanted to hear. If it turned out to be a hit, it was pure dumb luck.
With me, Katie Puckrick.
And me, Tom Fordyce.
This is We Didn't Start the Fire, the only podcast started by me, Billy Joel.
Hello, this is Gary Chahot welcoming you to check out the French History Podcast. Our main show covers the history of France from the first humans until present. If you liked Mike Duncan's The History of Rome and wanted a similar program covering the land of beauty, culture, and love, we are exactly that. We also host world-renowned scholars who have delivered guest episodes on their specialties, including 18th century pirates, revolutionary booksellers in 20th century Paris, the special friendship between the Marquis de Lafayette and Thomas Jefferson, and numerous others. Learn what you love and listen to the French History Podcast today.
Hello listeners, thank you so much for listening to this episode. I just wanted to let you know that if you enjoy what I'm doing here, then it really helps me when you leave a review or a rating on the podcast provider you're using to listen to this. When you subscribe to the show's Patreon page, its YouTube channel, or when you become a supporter over on Patreon, where you can get access to bonus episodes, ad-free episodes, and transcripts by pledging to one of the show's patron tiers. According to post-conquest tradition, Beona and Albert were succeeded by Ethelred in 760. This Ethelred has left absolutely no trace on the historical record, and his name survives only from the saints' lives written about his son Athelbert. According to these lives, his wife and Athelbert's mother was a Mercian princess named Leofrana. In the very late 770s, it says, Athelbert succeeded his father. According to these later traditions, he was an intensely pious king who wished to be celibate. He was, however, forcibly betrothed to Alfthryth, the daughter of King Offa, who herself also wished to be a nun. According to these later legends, in 793, Athelbert went to meet Alfthryth, and while there, he was taken prisoner by his betrothed's mother, Kynethryth, Queen of Mercia. According to this legend, Kynethryth wanted her brother to become the King of East Anglia, and so she seized the opportunity to manipulate her husband into having Athelbert beheaded. Out of horror at what her mother had done, Alfthryth retired to the hermitage at Crowland. On account of his piety, Athelbert was swiftly canonized as a saint of the East Anglian Church. It seems likely that, despite what the legend says, Offa was somewhat complicit in Athelbert's death, or at least he wasted no time in capitalizing on it, since from 793 to his death in 796, Offa ruled East Anglia directly. The reason for Offa's seizure of power may lie in Athelbert's independence and his aspirations. The coins of Athelbert are similar stylistically to Offa's, a fact explained by their being minted by Lull, a moneyer who also produced coins for Offa. There are several interesting differences, though, between Offa's and Athelbert's coins. The most obvious one is the use of runes. The names Lull and Athelbert are both written in runic script, in contrast to Offa's coins, which use the Latin script. As with the case of Beona's and Albert's coins, this suggests that runes were still commonly understood in East Anglia, while their use in the rest of England had begun to decline. The second notable feature of Athelbert's coins is the image which appears on the obverse of several of them. Here we find images of Romulus and Remus being suckled by the she-wolf, along with the word king, Rex. This image seems to have two obvious meanings. Firstly, it signalled imperial ambitions on the part of Athelbert, which rivalled and likely threatened Offa's own. Secondly, the image may well indicate that Athelbert claimed some connection to the Wulfingers via the image of a wolf. Either of these could have posed a threat to Offa by their helping to rebuild East Anglian independence. The coins, then, may help to explain better than later hagiographic legend why Athelbert was beheaded in 793, and why Offa opted to take direct control of East Anglia thereafter. Let's end this episode by thinking a bit more about chronology. I mentioned that D.P. Kirby held that Albert and Athelbert were one and the same. If we discard later hagiography, then it's not impossible that this was the case. It would make Athelbert several decades older than he's usually depicted, but if we suggest that upon Alfwald's death he was still only an infant, then we could propose that Beona was a regent of some sort, hence his superior position. Possibly Beona was related to Mercian nobility, perhaps even to Beornred, and this caused him to align consciously with Mercia's rising power. When Beona died, Athelbert became the sole king and sought to re-establish East Anglian independence under a revivified Wulfingers dynasty. Offa was not willing to accept this, and instead he had Athelbert executed. This interpretation is entirely my own, and it is fully possible that Albert and Athelbert were two different kings. However, from the one coin that survives, we do know that Albert's name was in fact also Athelbert. And this, once we discard much later legends, is enough to make one wonder if the traditional chronology of this dark period is accurate. Thank you for listening. I hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Anglo-Saxon England podcast. Once again, I've been your host, Tom Kearns, and I hope you'll join me again next time.
A news story gets shared by a friend on social media, or you catch a tweet that really makes your blood boil. But how do you separate fact from fiction? That's the premise behind Disinformation, a 10-part series from Evergreen Podcasts and Emergent Risk International coming this fall. Tune into Disinformation wherever you get your podcasts, and remember, don't believe everything you read.